The coronavirus pandemic is affecting many people's lives. To minimize those effects, Congress has appropriated trillions of dollars of spending to aid Americans. That money is going to have to be borrowed by a government already running huge deficits. How will that be possible, and what will it mean for the country in the long term? Charles Wheatland teaches public policy and economics at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. He is the author of the book Naked Economics. As part of our series, Deep Dive Coronavirus, Maine Public's Erwin Kratz asked Wheatland to explain where the money comes from and how it could affect people in the long run.
The federal government said recently it plans to issue $3 trillion in bonds in this quarter. Who's going to buy those?
Lots of investors who are scared of everything else are going to buy those. They're worried about the stock market. They're worried about investing in other countries. It is the best horse in the glue factory at present. The federal government isn't even actually having to pay very high interest rates, so we're getting a good deal on our borrowing. There is demand for now.
And I understand the Federal Reserve is going to buy some of these as well.
The Federal Reserve has a unique capacity to buy bonds of any duration, and when they do that, they create demand for that borrowing, and it's one source of borrowing for the federal government. Now, it's a dangerous game. You can look around the world historically, and when federal reserves or central banks get in the business of buying the debt issued by governments, often hyperinflation is around the corner. I don't see that now, but as I said, it is a dangerous game to be playing.
So if we're going to count on other investors to invest, how much more could the federal government actually borrow this way?
That depends entirely on whether there is a plan for repaying it. The last time that I can think of that we borrowed on this scale so quickly would have been World War II. It was obvious that we should spend that money, and I would say very importantly now, it is important that we send out checks to keep businesses and households afloat. The key, though, is when it's over, do you have a plan in place to pay down that debt? We did it very effectively after World War II. Unfortunately, now we're in a climate where the two political parties cannot agree on a fiscal plan.
What's really the option for Congress? I mean, at the moment, if they don't do all of this spending, the country is continuing to experience conditions it hasn't seen since the Great Depression.
There is no option in the present. We ought to be spending heavily to keep businesses and households afloat, and we should absolutely positively not raise taxes because that's giving money with one hand, taking it away with the other. There's really nobody who's in, save a few billionaires, who's in a position to be paying higher taxes, and that's not going to pay off the level of debt that we're seeing here. But there's nothing precluding us from thinking more long-term, and there are really only two options. You can bring in more money, or you can spend less, or I guess the third is you can do a little bit of each. Any economist across the ideological spectrum who looks at where we are says you're going to have to use all the tools. We're going to have to raise revenue, and we're also going to have to curtail the rate of growth in entitlement spending, and most of that, of course, is healthcare costs. When you look at government spending, it is not funding for the NEA. It is not the space program. It's not foreign aid. Those things are increasingly chump change. It is all healthcare, Medicare, Medicaid, and the like. Until we restrain the rate of growth in healthcare, we are never going to get our fiscal books in order.
You mentioned one other thing, too, when you were writing a Naked Economics. The other factor that could help the country in the long term is actually inflation.
Well, it depends how you use the word help. So inflation can clearly help ameliorate your debts. But yes, if I owe you $1,000, that's a lot of my income. Another thing I can do if I happen to control the value of my currency is inflate away the value of that currency. So yes, I pay you back $1,000 on paper, but it only buys a half of what it used to buy. So in effect, I've canceled half of my debt to you, even though I have honored my legal obligation.
Well, that may not be a good strategy kind of in the short term, but even before this happened, the Fed was aiming for an inflation rate of about 2%. So clearly, over the long term, that could have some effect on the borrowing.
A steady and predictable inflation rate of something like 2% as you said, the target for the Federal Reserve. That's actually quite healthy, but the Federal Reserve has been very explicit. They're saying, we're telling you investors that we're trying to get 2%, which means when I loan you money and we calculate an interest rate, I am anticipating a 2% inflation rate. It's an unexpected and much higher inflation rate that distorts that borrowing lending agreement between you and I.
You were mentioning before about how the U.S. did succeed in repaying its debt after the Second World War. As it eventually plans to do the same here, is there a time factor? How quickly does it need to pay off a debt?
I don't think it has to be done quickly at all, as long as you can see runway that seems like it's going to solve the problem. So, for example, if you were my banker, I got in trouble on a business loan, and I came in and said, look, I'm going to make good on this loan. You wouldn't say I need it by next Monday. You'd say, all right, let me see your business plan and let me see your results. And if I'm persuaded over the next couple of years that your road to profitability is going to allow you to pay this back, you'll give me as much time as I need. But it all depends on having a plan in place that is credible and starts to show results.
So to summarize, you think we should be borrowing right now because we need to. And the key is to make sure that we have a plan in place to repay that borrowing over time.
At the risk of sounding like I'm pounding nails in the barnyard door after the horses are out, we should have been more fiscally responsible in the past. We should not have arrived at this point in such a fiscally parlous state. We've just come through a stretch before coronavirus where we had the lowest unemployment rate in known history or in recent history. And that's usually a time when you run surpluses. If we were a household, that would be a time when we were at our peak earnings and should presumably be saving for retirement and college tuition, those kinds of things. And instead, we were borrowing heavily. So then we come into this period when we really do have a reason to borrow and we're just not in the good shape that we would like to be in.
Public policy and economics professor and author Charles Wheatland. He spoke with Maine Public's Erwin Gratz as part of our series, Deep Dive Coronavirus.